Blog Talk Radio.
Hey yo, what's up? What's up? Let's keep it real, son. Count this money, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey yo, put the grants over there in the safe, you know what I'm saying? Cause we're spending these Jacksons. The Washingtons go to wifey, you know how that goes.
I'm saying that's what this is all about, right? Clothes, bank rolls, and hoes, you know what I'm saying? Yo, then what, man? Man what?
Bridge the lies and the realism of
folks. Good evening, everybody. And it is the one and only Derek Felix here on the Hardheads podcast. On an abbreviated edition here of this podcast, Flux here in Staten Island, New York City, Forgotten Borough, on a Monday evening here, little after 8 o'clock, only doing about 45 minutes here. And then I'm going to be out. So, just going to do what I got to do here, and we'll be out. Good day. Happy solstice day to everybody out there. The longest day of the season. Well, the longest day of the year, that's what I should say. As, you know, we get ready for winter, and it's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy to think about it. But here we are, and what we go. It's an interesting Monday after a busy sports weekend, and I'm just going to get right to it. There's a lot of stuff here that I want to get to, so without further ado, a lot of football, obviously, to talk about. I'm going to start with the Jets. Let's get this over with. The Jets got a win on Sunday. They pulled a huge upset against the Los Angeles Rams out in L.A., and they did hang on for a 24-21 victory, hit their first win in 14 games. And of course, the reaction to it, especially from most Jets fans, very negative because they were 0-13. They were in position. They were in position to get the first overall pick. A game ahead of the Jags, who have not won since week one, and in a position to maybe get the next franchise, potential franchise quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. I don't want to just come out and crown him. Everybody's crowning him. I think he's got a lot of ability, great talent. Even our own Rob Davis, you compared him to Peyton Manning. I don't know about that. It's huge. It's a huge comparison. I talked about this on my blog. You can follow it. It's hittingback21.wordpress.com. And you can read my article. And it's really, this is about team play, sport. It's about sports and it's about competition. And that's something I learned from a young age growing up in the 80s, a real decade. There's no such thing as losing. I mean, there really isn't. I mean, if you're involved in athletics, yeah, I mean, you want to have fun. Win or lose, you should have fun. If it's not fun, then you shouldn't play, shouldn't participate. Goes for a lot of fans as well. But if you played, well, like I played Little League, like I got to pitch, I got to hit. I mean, I got to do a lot of different things, played JCC basketball, I mean, ran track, played tennis. It's always fun. It was always fun. But when you play on a team, I mean, let's be honest, you want to win. You want to win. It doesn't matter what kind of role you have. And in my, you know, blog, I talk about how my title of the blog called When Fans and Even Media Don't Get to Play Team Sports. Team sports, it's not about anything other than building a winning culture. sports, about sportsmanship, though, too, fair play, all that good stuff. Dedication. So, the Jets winning a game and improving to 1-13, and now they're tied with the Jags. And because the Jags, because of the strengthened schedule, the Jags would actually have the number one pick, and the Jets right now are two. There's 2 weeks left of the season. And, of course, there's panic and there's manic on the airwaves. You hear it in the way Jets fans have talked. You even hear it in some of the press and some of the reactions. Look, those players, they play to win the game. As Herb Edwards would say, you play to win the game. And the Rams did not show up. They were not ready. For whatever reason, they were not ready. They were not engaged. The Jets scored on their first possession. They've actually, 8 weeks in a row, they scored on their first possession. At least you know that. They got a touchdown. And Rob's reporting it back to me. Oh, and now Goff threw an interception. Rob's getting excited about this because he's a Bills fan. Because, obviously, he wants the Jets. He wants the Jets to obviously win the game. Because he knows what it means after his Bills. Congratulations, Rob, to the Bills on winning their first AFC East division title since 1985, when Rob was like, had a pacifier. No, I'm kidding. All right, I'll talk about that later. All right, so, you know, the interception and the Jets kick a field goal. Then they kick another field goal. It's 13-0. Like, what the hell's going on here? What's going on? The Rams made it 13-3, but the Jets scored another touchdown. It's 23 Jets. Is it really going to happen? And even I'm starting to get interested in this now. Like, they're really going to win? I think they were a 17-point underdog. They're winning. They're leading this game by 17 points, folks. This is serious stuff right here. At this point, I think I put the Jets radio broadcast on with Bob LeSouza and Marty Lyons, and they do a wonderful job on there, and they're professionals, and they're not frauds, okay? And I'm not saying that you're a bad fan because you want the Jets to lose. But I think rooting for losses is bad. I don't know. I can't do it. I can't do it. But, like, all right, I want my team – let's put it this way. I want my team to give an honest effort. And whatever happens, happens. But it's very hard for me to root for losses. I'm more of an old school fan that way. That's just who I am, and that's what I got to say about it. So, but of course it got interesting. The Rams got back in the game, and before you knew it, it was 23-20, and are the Jets going to find a way to blow it? Are they going to blow it? You could hear the trepidation in Susan's voice, the concern. You know, the Jets, if the Jets go three it out here, the Rams are going to get the ball back. They're getting the ball back. And Sam Darnold will return to Los Angeles, and maybe he was a little extra motivated, you think? But, you know, he had to be playing off a chip on his shoulder. I'm sure he hears a little talk that he's going to be traded, all this stuff, and Trevor Lawrence is going to come in and save the Jets, and he's going to be their next Joe Willie Namath, and he's going to be the next great Jets quarterback, because they haven't had one since Joe Namath. I mean, Ken O'Brien was good, tested very, very good for a couple of years. Chad Pennington, Robert Chad, really good quarterback. I mean, they've had some good quarterbacks. It's just Darnold did not turn over the football. He threw for a touchdown. He didn't make any mistakes in the game. The Jets' defense played very well, and you could hear the praise that Marty Lyons was giving him. He said, this is the best the Jets' defense has played all year. And they're making plays, and the Rams sound flat, and Goff's frustrated. But you knew the Rams were going to make it interesting. They were not on the football field until maybe halfway through the fourth quarter. And that's when they tried to save face. And it's 23-20. If the Rams could get the stop, get a three and out, they're going to get the ball back. And if they got the ball back, then probably what would have happened is the same thing that happened against the Patriots. They were up 2 scores in that game. I know. The same thing that happened against the Raiders, which those are games the Jets should have won. Everybody talks about the Jets. They talk about the Jets like they're the worst team ever. Oh, they're really bad. They're a really bad football team with not real good personnel. It's very true. But they easily could have won the Pats game and should have. They had the Raiders beat, if not for the ridiculous cover one or cover two, whatever it was, by Greg Williams, who got fired, got canned. They probably should have beat the Chargers. So it's not like they haven't been competing. They have competed. I'm not going to say it's because of Adam Gase. He's not really a head coach. But you know what? These players, they want to win. They wanted to win. And they were in that position. And a good job by Gase. And on third down, he let his quarterback make a play. He trusted Darnold enough, and Darnold made the throw to Frank Gore, the very well-respected veteran. It's going to be a future Hall of Famer, former University of Miami Hurricane. Oh, God, back in those great days. And he kicks up the first down, and the Jets take a knee, and they win. They win the game. They beat the Rams. Hang on, 23-20. And all hell breaks loose. Here's the thing. It's a lot different for the players than it is for the... It's a lot different for the team, the players, the coaches. They put in a lot of work than it is for fans. Yeah, I've argued with Brian. I've had these arguments with Brian about the Knicks. Oh, how could you not want the Knicks to lose their last couple of games? Because I think the argument was over Carl Anthony Towns, that he's just going to be the superstar. As it turned out, what the Knicks pick? Where they wound up? I think third or fourth. I think draft lottery anyway. You know, Porzingis is probably better than Carl Anthony Towns. Unfortunately, the injuries happened with Porzingis, the Knicks mistreatment of Porzingis, and he decided he didn't want to be part of the Knicks anymore. So they traded him to the Mavericks, and that's ancient history, and he can't stay healthy. And I feel bad for him. I wish he could stay healthy because, he's an all-star caliber player. He's versatile. He's exciting. He could shoot the three. He could post up. He could rebound the ball. He could block shots. He's very fragile. All that said, I think Carl Anthony Towns, as good as Carl Anthony Towns is, I mean, he can get you 25 points on the rolls, and he could shoot the three and step out and shoot it, and he can post a little bit, but I think he's been a disappointment. The Wolves haven't improved. He doesn't play enough defense. So, that's different, though. That's the NBA lottery. So, Brian just wanted more ping pong balls in there. And, I mean, it's the Knicks. But, you know, they might have lucked out. They might have lucked out with this Emmanuel Quickley, who they traded for. And with Obi Toppin dropping to them. We'll see. We'll see. I'm not doing basketball tonight. All right. 31 minutes left here. I'm doing Jets, and then I'm going to get to the Giants. I'm going to do some Trevor Lawrence, and we'll do some Bills because the Bills deserve a little bit of credit. And maybe we'll do more Bills if we get Rob and Brian on because they deserve it. They freaking deserve. But they deserve that. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So I just want to finish here on the Jets. I want to give credit to the players. For how hard they played. And it wouldn't have been possible if the Rams didn't show up. That's true. The Rams are a way more talented team. That's why they were a 17-point favorite. I looked at that 17 points. I don't think I got many games right this week. So, yeah, it's funny. I mean, yeah, last week I think I did really well. I think I got 10 right, and I did really well. And this week... awful. Back to reality, back to life, back to reality. I mean, you know what? And that happens sometimes. That happens. But I got so many games wrong this week, and it's all right. I'm not. Yeah, it's just for fun anyway. It's not like I'm putting money. I'm not putting any shekels on it. I'm not Madison Miller. I'm not somebody that puts money on things. I'm Kyle Holland puts money sometimes on things. So he put money on St. John's. And he won against the Hoyas. That was pretty funny. You know, St. John's played a good game. Give them credit, and I'm very happy for my alma mater that they actually stepped up and played a good game. They still have a terrible defense, and I got 5 games right. The Jets and Rams were not one of them, obviously. I thought that was a lock. I also thought that I thought Green Bay would kill the Panthers or win by double digits, and the Panthers, they lost by points. They gave them a good game. Give them credit. Give them credit. I thought the Broncos could hang maybe with the Bills. I thought that would be a tricky spot out of Brian. It didn't turn out that way. The Bills put up 48 points. I mean, I don't know why they didn't pull the starters quicker, but can we talk about Sean McVay for a second? Sean McVay is a young coach. He was totally taken to school by Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl, where they couldn't score any points, and it was just, and everybody talked about their offense against defense, and his team is very strange. I mean, they were 9-4 coming in. You would have thought with the talent they have, Sam, with Aaron Donald blitzing, but they got Jalen Ramsey in the secondary. They got weapons. Cup's a really big weapon. They got some really good weapons. You can run the ball a little bit, but they can really gas you with their passing attack and really push the pace. And they weren't ready to play. And they were, and the Jets broadcast on ESPN Radio was Susan, and does an excellent job and has a lot of pride, and Artie Lance, they were all over that. They weren't ready. That falls on the coach. Really does. You know what's strange? And Brian told me this. The Rams only have one victory against the AFC East. That's it. They've only got one win against the AFC East. So, I guess you can put that wherever you want to put it. And I think, who was it against? Was it against the Dolphins? It might have been the Dolphins. Or the Patriots. It was one or the other. But whatever it was. But so, I look at the NFC. I see a bunch of teams that are good. There are good teams. There aren't any great teams. That includes the Green Bay Packers. By Aaron Rodgers looking like the leader, looking like the front runner for the MVP. And I do think he deserves to win it. And he has a great number one target. They're not a lock. They're not a lock. Even if they get the home field, they're not a lock. The Saints, you know, they brought back Breeze. They brought him back a little early, and he had his worst start. At least he did get better as the game went on, and they made it interesting. They did lose to the Chiefs by 3 points, but they're the Chiefs, and that's the Chiefs against the spread. It was a push. They were a 3-point favorite. A lot of talent on their roster, but I don't think they're a lock, especially with Breeze, the way he looks. The Seahawks, they don't have much of a defense. They're a very flawed team. They added Dunlap. That was a good move. He's a good pass rusher. They still have Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams, obviously, they got from the Jets. I mean, and offense is pretty much Russ to DK and the other receiver that they have, and they can run a little bit, but they're a lock. They get picked off. Cardinals, if they get in, I mean, they got a big one yesterday over the Eagles and Jalen Hurts, who had a real good game. They're not a lock. They are far from lock, even with Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins and Fitzgerald, who's at the end of his career. They're not a lock. Here's the point. There are no locks. Like Green Bay and the Green Bay will probably be the favorite, and the Saints will probably be the second favorite, right? But there aren't any locks. You know, if the Rams get in, and the Rams will be in the playoffs if they just totally fall apart. With their talent, they could go to the Super Bowl. And they lost to the New York Jets. They lost to the New York stinking Jets. I don't know what else to say. But the Jets got to win. And them and the Jags are both 1-13. There's 2 weeks left. And who knows what's going to happen. Look, everybody expects the Jags to lose their last two games and the Jets to wind up with the second pick. And don't forget the Bengals still have two wins and they're in action right now. But the Bengals also have a tie. So, no. I mean, it's really between the Jets and the Jags. And even though all these fans are negative and they're all blasting it, well, we lost Trevor Lawrence. You didn't lose him yet. You don't know what's going to happen. It's the NFL. Wake up. It's the NFL. Anything can happen in the NFL. Anything. So that's my take on it. There are a lot of good quarterbacks in this class. I think Trevor Lawrence is the best. He went out and just destroyed Notre Dame in the anticipated rematch ACC championship game against between Clemson and Notre Dame, and they kicked their ass all over the football field. They were up 34-3. They just destroyed them. And they also, their defense, they blitzed the hell out of Ian Book, and I think they sacked him like 6 or 7 times, and Notre Dame just did not have any answers. I thought Notre Dame was different this year. I thought they were a little more physical defense. Lawrence was out there to prove a point. And whether it was throwing the ball or just taking off and running for a 34-yard touchdown, he did it all. He's got the physical tools. He seems to have the mental tools. He looks like he's the real deal. So he is going to be number one. It's just a question of who. All right, this is Derek Felix with the Hard Hits Network. This is Derek Felix Show, with a sports podcast, and you can, of course, stream it, download, whichever way you want, listen whatever you want. All right, I appreciate any audience, of course, that wants to tune in and find out a little more about what I've got to say. So Clemson, they of course, made the college playoff, new college playoff system that's been around for a little bit. Alabama roll. Well, actually, they didn't roll. What am I saying? That game was crazy. But they scored 52 points against Florida. And Florida kept coming back because they got Kyle Trask. They needed so much. They needed everything from Mac Jones and from their running back, who became the all-time rushing leader there, beating out Derrick Henry. They needed it all. Wow, what a crazy game that was. But Alabama, like, they led pretty much the whole way. They were up by 17 points. And Trask and Alabama made things interesting. And it was interesting. It was very interesting for a little bit. But give them credit. You know, give them credit after losing to LSU the way they did. They were right there. They certainly had the opportunities. And Kyle Trask is one of those quarterbacks. Mac Jones is another quarterback that could be. They'll both be up. They probably are both going to be for front runners for the Heisman. Who's going to take it? I think Trevor Lawrence might have done enough to get himself in the convo. So I like Travis Etienne too. I've talked about him before. There's talent all over the field. See, there is talent all over the field. That's the whole thing when you talk about the college football, when you talk about some of these teams. So you've got, right now you've got Alabama, they're number one. They're matching up against Notre Dame, who they took over, Texas A&M team that had one loss also. And I know all the talk about A&M, oh, well, they only have one loss, and their coach Fisher. He's just a complete jerk. Ugh. Look at what he did to Florida State. Left them up in smoke, and their program is just suffering, and they've taken on the chin since then. But just shut up. Shut up, all right? You didn't beat Clemson. Like, you know, you could say all you want about how good the SEC is. I think the right four teams are there. Ohio State's there. They had an ugly win against Northwestern. Northwestern's defense is good. And the other kid, Justin Fields, he was not sharp. He threw a couple of interceptions. His last 2 weeks haven't been all that great. Might have hurt him in terms of the draft. I don't know. But he is playing with a thumb sprain. He did play with a thumb sprain. Maybe that's affecting the way he's throwing football. We'll see what happens when he plays in the semifinals against Clemson. But the right four teams are in it. Najee Harris had a big night for Alabama in that 52-46 win, that crazy win against the Gators, where they kept coming back. Both quarterbacks threw for over 400 yards. They each passed Danny Werfel's SEC championship record. He had like 400 and maybe four. 408 for Trask, 3 touchdowns, and 418 for Mac Jones, and 5 passing touchdowns. He did have an INT. And Jim Harris had a monster game with 5 touchdowns, 2 on the ground, 3 receiving, 178 rushing yards, passes Derrick Henry for the most in Alabama history. That's a credit right there. So they're really fast, and I think they're going to blow the doors off Notre Dame, and I think they're like a 19, they're already like a 19-point favorite or something like that for the big game, for that big semifinal. I don't really have anything else to add. There are a couple other quarterbacks, a couple other notables. The kid from BYU is pretty good, Zach. I can't think of his last name, but he's a quarterback that people have talked about. There's a couple others as well. So, guys are all going to get drafted. And what I really think it comes down to is how ready they are, how prepared they are, how do they look in what they're able to do. You know, if they're able to do the camps and stuff and interviews, how do they come across? Are they mature? You know, what kind of transition, you know, how quick can they make the transition? And I think all that stuff matters. And then they got to, how quick can they transition and adjust to a NFL system? You know, if it's run like the Buffalo Bills did it with Josh Allen, it can work. Josh Allen had a big arm, but he also was very intelligent, and he did really score really well on the Wunderlich. And I listened to him interviewed, and he's just very cerebral, and he was passed over a bunch of times, and that's why he played his football at Wyoming. And the fact that he's such an athletic guy, what's he, like 6'6", and he could run, he could throw lasers, and he could run. He's got a little bit of Aaron Rodgers to him. A little bit of Ben Roethlisberger as well. Rob have talked about that. Brian talked about that as well. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to the quarterback situation, it's how you manage it. The Jets totally mismanaged Sam Darnold, and you look how well that turned out. The Ravens did a good job with Lamar Jackson, and he's proven to be a really good quarterback. He got an MVP last year. Still not a great, you know, quarterback when it comes to throwing the football, but I mean, in terms of what he could do, he's very dangerous. Josh Allen, I mean, he obviously looks like the best quarterback of that class, great class, certainly. There's a lot to look at, but I mean, when it comes to the young quarterbacks, though, you know, sometimes you got to bring in a veteran. You know, having a veteran there sometimes they have to sit. It might not be the worst idea for Daniel Jones to have a veteran in there that could play a little bit. If Daniel Jones is, I don't think the Giants would do that, but you know, Daniel Jones hasn't proven enough, and he can't stay healthy for the Giants. And now I'm about to transition to the Giants. Here's what I'm going to say about the Giants. But I'm not surprised that they lost. I mean, come on. I mean, they were going up against a really good team. The Browns are a really good team. They weren't without James Bradbury. That definitely hurt. Obviously, not having Daniel Jones, you know, he wasn't able to play. That was not a good situation for them. Bradbury, that's right. He couldn't play because of the whole COVID restriction thing. Excuse me. I want to apologize for that. But, you know, that was their top shutdown guy, I mean, at the corner spot. And they were also without another cornerback. So, I mean, they were down two. And anytime, you know, you start going down that depth chart, you know, Blake Bortitis had a real good game, as usual. But the defense, the defense held them in. And they were able to run the football in the first half. I just think Joe Judge actually, he made some mistakes. He made some mistakes in this game. And they couldn't score. And I don't know why they call it the red zone. It's really the green zone. I kind of agree with Coughlin. It's not the red zone. It's the green zone. You got to get touchdowns. You're not gonna win with just only field goals. I understand all that, especially against the Browns. But and they had to focus on shutting down both Nick Chubb and on shutting down Kareem Hunt. Did a real good job. I mean, they did a real good job. That wasn't the problem. The problem is that they had a lot of drives in the first half. They were able to run with Morris. And Coleman didn't touch the ball enough. I don't understand what the thinking was there. 9 carries for 29 yards. I mean, that didn't make any sense. And Morris broke off one run of 14. But they had some drives. They played the field position game. They settled for a field goal, but they also ran a fake field goal, which I did not like. I didn't like that. I thought that was a mistake. It did not work. So they ran a fake field goal. Then they got the ball back and Gunnell kicked a field goal. And then they had another opportunity, another chance for more points. And he went for it on fourth down, and the fourth down play was fourth and a little longer than a yard. And they were what? I think it was like maybe at the 5 or 6 yard line of Cleveland. I would have, you know what, just kick the damn field goal. At that point, they're down 7-3 because Mayfield, you know, of course, finally heaved up and took the Browns down the field. And Austin Hooper was wide open for a 2 yard score, 7-3. Just kick the, take the points. Yeah, if it's short, if it's closer to a yard and not yard and a half, I have no problem going for it. But I would take the points. You already made one mistake with the fake field goal on your first drive. Take the freaking points. Make it 7-6. They don't take the points. They don't get the first down. The Browns get the football, and what do? They drive 95 yards, and Mayfield's just hitting everybody. He's just picking them apart, and he finally finds Landry, Jarvis Landry, who's a real good receiver. Doesn't get enough credit, the former Dolphin, 7-for-61 with the touchdown. And it goes from being, you know, it could have been a 7-6 game. No, it's not. It's 13-3 because Cody Parkey missed the point after with 21 seconds left. And it changed the whole complexion of the game. And right there, that's game over. And as soon as they missed the fourth down, I knew where this game was headed. Look, I have no problem with Judge being aggressive. I understand why he was aggressive. And he defended and said that, you know, he can be aggressive. And he said that, no, they weren't going to win with just field goals against the Browns, who have a really high-scoring team and played in that crazy game against the Ravens on Monday Night Football. But, yes, they needed touchdowns in this game. It would have helped if Evan Engram could have caught the pass that Colt McCoy threw. I know it wasn't a perfect pass by Texas pride Colt McCoy, former Brown. But you know what? I've seen Engram make better catches than that. I think Engram should have caught that, to be honest. I didn't think that was that bad a throw. Yeah, everybody say, oh, it was so behind. You know, don't stop making excuses for Engram and for how inconsistent he is. Better tight end catches that. I don't want to hear Bob Papa and Carl Banks making excuses for for Ingram, for why Evan Ingram's just, he's a tease. I mean, he's got a lot of talent. Or he'll drop a ball from McCoy and it gets intercepted. They wound up winning the game anyway, but he can make great catches too. He has before. Very disappointing. He's just a disappointing guy. And then, oh, well, two Giants got named to the Pro Bowl today. I give a damn, but still, I mean, James Bradbury got named. He deserved it. And then they named Evan Ingram to the Pro Bowl. I'm like, wait, is this some kind of joke? Evan Ingram in the Pro Bowl? What? He does have 54 catches. I looked at it, and it's only an average of like 10 yards. I mean, I know the quarterback situation is not ideal, but Evan Ingram should be a guy that catches 80 passes a year and has at least 6 touchdowns. I'm not saying he's got to be Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is ridiculous, okay? He's not going to beat that. But you know what? He should be able to catch 80. He should be able to have 80 receptions a year. More yards and have at least 5 or 6 touchdowns. Why can't he do that? Instead, the guy's got the dropsies. Sometimes he makes great catches. Sometimes he doesn't. Disappointing. He's a disappointment. I don't really understand the strategy either. You're down. You're already down. And then, of course, the Browns get the ball back. They drive down the field. Chubb finishes it off with 1 yard run. It's 20-3. Although, that was the fourth quarter. That's right. So there were no points in the third quarter. That's right. There weren't any points. So this is my point. You're down 13-3. You're down 10. You already went for a fourth down. You failed. You already did a fake field goal that didn't work, but you're at the 50. You're a little past the 50 in the field. You don't go for fourth down and 4. If you're going to be aggressive, you're down 13-3 to them already. You got the ball back. The Browns picked up a first down. They picked up one first down and then they got the ball back. That's what happened on that first drive in the second half. They've got to go for it there. It seemed like McCoy was in a rhythm. He didn't have a bad game. I mean, 19 of 31, 221, not bad. Only sacked once. He didn't really make any mistakes. I mean, Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is not this great quarterback either, but he is a backup quarterback. I mean, I didn't get the logic. They also used Deion Lewis. And Deion Lewis, he had another fumble on a return. Luckily, the Giants recovered it. Primarily, had Gallman run the football more. I know the Giants' run was not there in the second half as the Browns made the adjustment to it because they were going to. I mean, their defense, and they're not great defensively, but they've got guys like Olivier Vernon, former Giant, Miles Garrett, obviously, who, of course, is their big pass rusher. Joseph had a real good game. B.J. Goodson, also a former Giant. So they have some guys. I mean, they're not great. They're not lockdown defense, but the Giants' offense is pathetic. It's pathetic. You realize, and I heard this, the Bengals, if they score – if they just kick a field goal in this game against the Steelers, which should be a get-right game for the Steelers, but you know, maybe it isn't. I don't know. I don't know anymore after what happened with the Jets. I have no idea. That's a rivalry game, too. But I would think the Steelers will win comfortably. I have to think that because they don't. Guess what? Then they have 3 straight losses, and the Bills move into a second slot. They move ahead of them because they got tiebreak because they beat them. Yeah, so you could have the Giants and Jets with the 2 worst offenses in the league after tonight. That's just inexcusable, and it's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. Dexter Lawrence had a good game yesterday. Had a sack. Had the only sack of Baker Mayfield. Otherwise, Mayfield had a field day. What was he, 27 out of 32? He couldn't miss. Lawrence also had 6 tackles. Lawrence is good. It's a good draft pick. Jabril had kind of a quiet game for Jabril Peppers. I mean, usually he does a little bit more, only three tackles. I mean, Leonard Williams was around the ball. He had six tackles. No sacks, but Logan Ryan, of course, had a good game. They were down two corners, though, and I think it showed. And Cleveland was able to, you know, find the openings. Mayfield picked them apart. He found the gaps, and he took them. And Cleveland took advantage of that. I mean, would I have liked to have seen the Giants play the Browns healthy? You know, maybe with James Bradbury? Yes. I think that maybe it could have been different. Maybe it could have been a different game. Even with just Bradbury in the other corner that they're missing, it might have been different. Could have been. How about just if they kick those field goals? That's 6 points that they didn't put on the board. I mean, instead, they settled for one Gano 39-yarder with the game basically out of reach to make it 26, make it a two-possession game with over four minutes left. Not good enough. I mean, the Giants have totaled 13 points in the last 2 weeks against the Cardinals. They lost to 26-7 against Kyler and DeAndre company. And 6 points against the Browns last night, who aren't what I would call locked down defensively. Outscored 46-13. They are what they are. It's not like they had the one win against the Seahawks where they put it together and it worked out great. McCoy was the starter for that one. And he didn't really throw for 108 yards, but they ran all over the Seahawks. The flawed team, as I said. They're a game out because the Washington football team, the Monuments, they put up a great fight against Seahawks, but they lost. I have a feeling they put up a game against them. They did. They got back in that. They made it very interesting. They lost 20-15. Maybe just one too many mistakes by Haskins early on in that game, but they had some chances there. So, and now Dallas, of course, they beat the 49ers, and guess what? Looks like they could maybe sneak in and win the division. They could wind up winning this division, this pathetic division. There's really not much else to say. I mean, you got Washington, they're at 6-8. You got Dallas at 5-9. They have the win against Giants, so the Giants are behind Dallas. 5-9 also. The Eagles nearly pulled it out because of the quarterback switch to Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts played a great game for them. Three passing and one running. And they lost in a real good game. Murray to Hopkins, that was the difference. And a really good game. This is just, if you want to look at, you know, it's not even worth looking at the schedule, to be honest. I mean, Washington's hosting the Panthers next week. They should win that game. They should win the game. Are they going to win? I don't know. Here's the deal. Washington beat Dallas twice. They have that tiebreak. Dallas and Washington tie. It goes to Washington. It does. So Dallas needs help. They need to win their two games, and then they cannot finish tied with Washington. And don't forget the Giants. The Giants got to go to Baltimore. I mean, really, are they going to beat Baltimore at Baltimore after losing to the Browns, after losing to the Cardinals? I don't know. And if Daniel Jones is not ready, don't bring him back. Don't bring him back. I mean, think about the future. Think about the long term. I think the coach said that, Judge said that in the Pulse game yesterday. And that's the right thing to say. because it's you have to think long term about what's best, and they should with the kid. It's a hamstring. You don't want to bring him back again. Like, you know, he made a mistake bringing him back against Arizona, took him right out of that game. I don't think they were going to win anyway, but still, it was a huge mistake. LaQuay should have started that. And you know what? LaQuay should have come into that game. I don't understand why they did that. That was so stupid. And, you know, that's where Joe Judge has proven that he's still a rookie coach. He's going to make some mistakes. No coach is perfect. I listen to every Judge press conference. I love what he says. He's very accountable. He's accountable. He's willing to take responsibility. He sounds like a coach. He sounds like a football coach. I like the fact that they're in every game. Every week, they're in every game for the most part. Even the Arizona game, even though Arizona eventually pulled away. But they've been in almost every game. 49er game being the one real embarrassment. Arizona did wind up winning by 19, but they had an immovable quarterback. It was a mistake to play him. They've got Baltimore. If they could somehow pull an upset with that, then there's still a chance. Brian said he's hoping the Giants win next week because he doesn't want to see them in the playoffs. The Ravens are out of the playoffs right now. I mean, they got 9 wins, but they're behind the Dolphins for that last spot. He doesn't want to see the Dolphins. The Dolphins have the Raiders, I think, and the Raiders are pretty much done. They would have to win their last 2 games. Need help. Need a lot of help. So basically, they would need the Giants to beat Baltimore. The Raiders would, and they would have to beat the Dolphins. And then they'd have to win their final week, and the Dolphins would have to lose the final week against the Bills. They might not be playing for anything. But they could be playing for 2 seed. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. In overtime, just a quick little overtime segment. Derek Felix, this is Derek Felix Show. E-Flex, with this podcast, make sure you stream. If you want to stream online or stream or download it, iTunes, Apple, whatever. And check out what I have to say. Final thoughts. This is mostly all football. I want to congratulate the Buffalo Bills. They did it convincingly. Josh Allen was terrific in that game. And a tremendous job right there by him. And kudos. Kudos to him. They had not won a division in so many years. 1995, that's before I knew Brian David Sanhorn. That's before I met him at St. John's. I met him in late January of 96. St. John's, my first semester there at the transfer from Fairley Duckett's in front of you. And I knew this guy all those years. No, not long. His birthday's coming up in less than 9 days. Well, 9 days. Well, yeah, actually, less than 10 days. December 30th. Time. And I know him from Sayreville, New Jersey. And they were in the playoffs how many times? They were in the playoffs a couple of times. They had Flutie take them to the playoffs and play a really good game, but they lost despite Eric Woltz putting up a monster game, 9 catches for like 230 something for a whole bunch of receiving yards. So they lost the game to the Dolphins in a wild card. Lost by a touchdown. I don't know how you lose a game when a wide receiver went Woltz. Woltz was really good. I was looking at Eric Woltz earlier today. It's kind of a forgotten Bill. Antoine Smith also was on that team as well. I think Thurman was still there for that. They got back to the playoffs the next year under Wade Phillips, and Flutie was the quarterback the whole year. And then they decided, let's play Rob Johnson.
the management just changed their minds and told Wade Phillips that we want Rob Johnson to start the game. And that was disastrous.
And yet they were still in position to win the game, despite the fact that Rob Johnson, who they signed to a contract and was just awful, he still led until the crazy, whatever you want to call it, the immaculate reception. Is that what it's called? Brian calls it the immaculate deception. It's where the Bills kick a field goal. There are 16 seconds left. And the Titans, they know they need a touchdown. So they're going to have to do something crazy. So, you know, Wycheck makes the throw. And Dyson's the guy who caught it, on the other side. And it was really close to being a forward pass. You know, I've looked at the video several times. You know, you ask any Bills fan, they'll tell you that was not legal. And they reviewed it. But reviews were different back then. They were a lot quicker. I don't know. It probably wasn't legal. It's really hard to say. But it's a long time ago. It's 1999, for crying out loud. And our friend John Harris, he decides to get right. He went to Tennessee. He comes back and gets a pin of that play, a pin commemorating that play. And it went on Tim Daddio's wall, all on his bulletin. I'll never forget that. It was just like a little Christmas surprise or whatever the next year. And he got that for him. It's got to be one of the funniest things ever. We're in South River, we're at Tim's dungeon in the basement. And we're having a hockey night. And then Herbst presents this gift. I'll never forget the reaction that Brian had to it. And it just went on Daddy's bulletin. Oh my God. Wow. Crazy. It was pretty funny. But I think of all those years that they had a lot of bad teams. They went through a lot of quarterbacks. They did have Bledsoe. You know, Drew Bledsoe was a really good quarterback. You know, as much as I poke fun of him because he couldn't move after a certain point, I used to call him Statue of Bledsoe. I used to call him Statue. And that's where the Statue of Bledsoe, Brian David screen name, AOL screen name came in. Because he couldn't move. Oh, he could throw the damn ball. He could throw the ball. The best of them. But he threw for over 4,000 yards. The only other Bills quarterback to do that is Josh Allen this year. And he's in my top three for MVP behind Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. But they never made the playoffs. They went 8-8 his first year. They went 6-10 in his second year. And they went 9-7 in his last year. And then he went to the Dallas Cowboys to finish out his career. Really good career. I have his rookie card somewhere. Yeah. He is a one-time Super Bowl champion behind Tom Brady. Yeah, when they beat the Rams, when Belichick just decided, I want to stick with this Tom Brady kid, which had to be very tough for Drew, so they traded Drew to the Bills, to a rival. 31 game-winning drives, 24 comebacks. I mean, he threw for over 44,000 yards. So it's pretty damn good. 251 touchdowns. How many INTs? Where are INTs? 206. Hanging on to the ball for Brussels was a little bit of a problem. He was a gunslinger. Eli was a gunslinger, but he won. He won. I mean, yeah, he had help, but you know what? Eli was really clutch in those two runs they had. He was really clutch. You know, Drew Bledsoe, the stats on Drew Bledsoe are pretty good. You know, people forget that. People forget that Bledsoe went to the Super Bowl with Parcells. And he did. The loss to the Packers. Yeah. They lost to Brett Favre. There's no shame in losing to Brett Favre. And Favre only won once. That's amazing. You know, Aaron Rodgers only has one Super Bowl appearance. Very similar to Favre. Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Favre. Aaron Rodgers is probably the best regular season quarterback ever. You go ahead and look at the numbers. What's he working on? 39 touchdowns and 4 INTs this year? Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Amazing. 40 touchdowns and 4 INTs this year. Are you kidding me? At what? Let's see, 35, 36? He's 37. Holy crap. How many MVPs? He's got 2. If he doesn't get the third MVP, I know how great Patrick Mahomes is. I've heard Bachelor talk about Mahomes forever. No. You don't have as much to work with there. He deserves to win that award. But in terms of the Buffalo Bills, getting Stephon Diggs and what Stephon Diggs has done and with Allen, wow. I mean, wow. How about Cole Beasley? Yeah, that defense is healthy too. Tre'Davious White. Oh, by the way, Tre'Davious White was taken after Evan Engram in the same draft. Just a little notation there. You know who else was taken after Evan Engram? T.J. Watt on the Steelers, the great pass rusher, the brother of J.J. Watt. Who do you think I'd rather have right now? Evan Engram or either Tre'Davious Watt, Tre'Davious White, or T.J. Watt? I'd probably take T.J. Watt, the inside or outside linebacker. Imagine that, having him paired. Maybe they wouldn't trade it for Leonard Williams, but still, imagine having that kind of a guy in the first round. Yeah, I just happened to be looking at Evan Engram's draft because I just could not believe that he actually got named to the Pro Bowl. And I think that's a ridiculous thing. Well, it is. Stephon Diggs wanted out of Minnesota, leads the NFL in reception 111 catches. 1,314 yards, 5 receiving, 5 receiving touchdowns. I'm surprised they have more touchdowns. Part of that might be Jake Allen or Josh Allen. Why do I say Jake Allen? Josh Allen, excuse me. I thought McDermott should have taken out some of his players sooner in that blowout, and White got banged up in that game. You don't want to have any injuries. You don't want to have injuries. Kansas City lost their starting running back, the really talented rookie. So I guess they're going to have to lean on Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's too bad for the Chiefs. He looked like he blew out his knee. That sucks. It sucks. I'm just looking at touchdowns here for the Bills. Well, Allen's got 8 on the ground. And how many throwing? He's got like 33 or 34. How many's he got? What has he got passing? What's he got passing? 30 passing with 9 INTs. And just he's got 4,000 yards exactly in year 3. It's awesome. What a fantastic year. And he's got another 8 on the ground. So 38 touchdowns. Wow. What about the other touchdowns for this team? Who's second? Gabriel Davis is a rookie, and he's got 6. He does catch touchdowns, and he's got 6. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a ton of cases. He is a rookie. He's 21. You know, Rob's talked about him as being – he's going to eventually become probably the second option. You know, with John Brown being banged up this year – yeah, I mean, I don't know what John Brown's contract status is, but yeah, Gabriel Davis is a guy to look at. Devin Singletary, not many touchdowns for him, but they're using him a little bit more lately. I do wish that they had more of a ground game. Zach Moss, though, looks like he's got a little bit of potential. Basically Singletary and Moss, but of course Allen can run also. But you don't want Allen running all the time. You don't want that. But he can. I mean, he certainly can. They should have put Matt Barkley earlier in that game. I did not understand that at all. didn't make a lot of sense to me. But Brian's talked about this offensive coordinator they got, Brian Daboll. He says the Jets would be nuts not to hire Brian Daboll, offensive coordinator for the Bills. He says the Jets should hire him as their next coach. Well, I mean, you look at the Bills' offense, it is really good. I mean, certainly their personnel is a lot better. Cole Beasley is very underrated. That's interesting. But I just wanted to give about 10 minutes on the Bills. I did that and because they deserve it. They dethroned the Patriots, and the Patriots lost to the Dolphins 22-12 in another ugly game, and they just don't have much offense there. And Cam Newton is obviously not the answer, and they probably should draft a quarterback. I think what they should do is draft a quarterback, maybe sign somebody. I don't know who will be back. I don't know what they will consider doing, but they're going to have to do something different at the quarterback position. And they don't have much talent there. They really did not have much talent there. So you factor all that in. And that's why they are where they are. And that's exactly why they are where they are. And they're out of the playoffs. Outside looking in for the first time since Brady missed that season after what happened in week one to him against the Chiefs. Was that in 2008? And the Dolphins wound up beating them out on a tiebreak. The Bills still won 11 games with Castle at the quarterback. You have got to be kidding me. And Cam Newton's only got 5 passing touchdowns. That's crazy. He's basically a running quarterback who makes mistakes. Like, that doesn't work. He's got 11 touchdowns rushing. This is a former MVP, but he looks like he's done. I mean, it's too bad. I mean, but injuries happen. Injuries do happen. We understand that. In terms of playoff picture, it looks to me like it's really 8 teams battling for 7 spots in the AFC. The Raiders need a lot of help. They're still alive, but like I said, they need a lot of help. They need a lot of help. They need the Ravens to lose their last 2 games. They need the Dolphins to lose their last 2 games, which means that if the Raiders beat the Dolphins next week, well, guess what? They're a game out. With a week to play, they would be a game out. A week to play, but still, need a lot of help. I've talked about the NFC East situation picture. As far as the wild card, it is the Arizona Cardinals with their hard-fought touchdown win over the Eagles, pulling that out after the Eagles came back to tie. They are a game up on the suddenly resurgent Bears, as Mitch Trubisky has played much better since his benching. And Nick Foles went down, Trubisky came back in. He's played well. And yesterday, their running back, Montgomery, had a big game. He had like 157 on the ground. And the Bears are only 2 games back. The problem for the Bears is they have to obviously win next week. I think they got the Jags. You would think that would be money game, but you never know. It's the NFL. And then they've got the Packers at Lambeau. Now, that game might not mean anything to the Packers, but still. So the Packers who beat them in the first week of the season. So for the Bears to make it, kind of, they would need to probably win their last 2 games and get help. So if they get help, meaning the 49ers were not playing for anything, if they're going to eliminate it, can beat the Cardinals, knock them off, and the Cardinals have a slip-up, and who knows? It's possible they could actually get in the playoffs. And I thought they had given up on the season with Nagy. But stranger things have happened, and I've talked about how strange and how just mediocre the NFC is. Yes, if the Washington football team wins the division and they get in, They could make a run. I mean, if they're that defense, yeah, they could. They could make a run. I don't know. Is Alex Smith going to come back? I mean, because you know, they're asking Haskins to do it. They're also without their running back. I mean, so it's like they're trying to do this with smoke and mirrors, and they really are. I mean, it's like, and Ron Rivera is a really good coach. He's a really good football coach. And he missed, obviously he missed another game, and it's a leg injury. So I don't know. I mean, it's really, it's a lot to ask. It is a lot to ask when it comes to that team. I mean, they are in first place. Obviously 8-8 would get it done. 7-9 would likely get it done too. So, unless somehow the Giants ran the table, won their last two games, the Washington football team split, the Giants would have the tiebreak because they beat them twice. Whereas Washington has the tiebreak over the Cowboys. Yeah, I mean, this whole thing is whack. I don't think the Eagles are even eliminated yet because they have four wins. So they're not eliminated either. Their final two games are the Panthers next Sunday and then at the Eagles. Their offense is a lot better with Jalen Hurts than it is with Carson Wentz. So, it's definitely interesting. Now, we could talk about their defense, Chase Young. All right, so Chase Young, he is a game breaker. He definitely is. He's got 5.5 sacks. I mean, it's not a ton of sacks, but the kid from Ohio State, but he is explosive. I haven't really watched a lot of him, but Brian has. And Brian said he is really tough to block. He said he's unblockable. He's very fast. I know that from watching him in college. Yeah, I mean, I look at it here. He's got 8 QB hits, tackles for a loss, 8. Yeah, I mean, 5.5 sacks. He also has a fumble recovery for a touchdown. 47 yards, did that, I think, a week ago and win. Montez Sweat's pretty good also. They have a good defense. They do have a good defense, this team. They still have Ryan Kerrigan, who's more of the veteran leader, who can get to the quarterback as well. This is a good defense. They're more of a physical team, which is why they need Antonio Gibson back, because he has been the spark for them at the running back position. They haven't had him the last couple of weeks. McLaurin is obviously the go-to guy as far as receiver goes for them. Logan Thomas, he has 6-2 catches. Yeah, that's right. He's a good tight end as well. So you have a little bit of a 1-2 punch there. But if they could get Gibson back, because Peyton Barber is really not much. I don't know what Gibson's status is. If he has a toe injury, okay. So he is questionable. They took this kid in the third round out of Memphis, and 66 overall. He has had a real good impact for this team. Obviously, they can really use him. So, I'm just trying to set up the. Since I do have time to set up a little bit of what these three team schedules look like. So I'm just going to – a Cowboys schedule to me, I think the Cowboys schedule is the easiest schedule, because especially if the Giants can't put up points in that font, if they're still struggling to put up points, I don't know how many points they're going to get. Baltimore's defense is not what it used to be, but still. If the Giants are still struggling to put up points, I think it's going to be hard for them to beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys – with Andy Dalton, they got the most experienced quarterback. He's been to the playoffs before. He's done it before. Their other running back with Elliott out has played very well. Pollard has played very well. They got Cooper. They got some good targets as well. Defense is not great. They're spotty. They did beat the 49ers in a higher scoring game. I just want to take a look quickly at them, and then I will wrap this thing up. And maybe we'll do another one later if the guys have interest, we could do a Bill celebratory thing, talk a little more football, and we'll do that. Will be more of a fun kind of show. This one I usually just do my own thing, podcast here, and give you my views on things. I think I did a good job on that. I certainly gave you my views on the Jets, and we still don't know how things are going to shake out there. Everybody is so sure. Hey, you know what? Here's the other thing. And I could totally see, even the Jags somehow sneaks. Let's say the Jags get another one somehow. They upset the Bears or whoever. I mean, they're not expected to because they're really bad. They're probably worse than the Jets. That's saying something. But like, couldn't you just see Belichick just? I mean, is there any reason to play Newton in the final week of the season? Maybe he plays Stidham. Stidham might be a better option than the quarterback. Who knows? But couldn't you just see him resting guys and the Jets wind up beating the Patriots and they win a second game? Holy crap. You know, the thing about the Jets, though, I said it in my post on Hitting Back, on the hittingback21.wordpress.com. That's the site, hittingback21.wordpress.com. They should have beat the Patriots the first time. They should have. They blew that game. They should, in epic fashion, they blew the game to the Raiders. I mean, they could have beaten the Chargers. It's not like they weren't competitive in some games. Yeah, I mean, they could have three wins against teams that have at least 6 wins or better. It's not too bad. No, it's not. Well, I just want to take a look here at the Cowboys. And McCarthy, you know, everybody thought McCarthy had lost. And all of a sudden, they win a couple of games, and they're right back. They're right back in play for this division. Can you believe that? I mean, 7-9 is probably going to win this division. I see John Fossil is a special teams coordinator for this team. It's the brother of Jim Fossil. Mike Nolan, of course, he has Giants ties, still the defensive coordinator. I don't know how. I mean, Mike Nolan was a good defensive coordinator for the Giants back in like 2000 or whatever. And he was a head coach once, I think, for the 49ers, and that didn't work out too well. Dalton, so 11 touchdowns, 6 INTs so far. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. He won't make a lot of mistakes. Let's talk at this Tony Pollard kid. So they gave Elliott all this money. He just looks like he can't be bothered. He's on the sideline. What the hell did you give him all the money for? Pollard, Rob's talked about this kid. He had a real good game yesterday. 87 carries for 408 yards so far, averaging 4.7. A pop. He's doing better than Elliott, 4 touchdowns. So he's got one less touchdown than Zeke. And Zeke started 13 games, and Zeke was on the sidelines yesterday. Yeah, maybe Rob's got a point. I mean, look at the Eagles situation with Carson Wentz. That's a disaster. He's going to be traded. Look at that contract. Who wants that contract? Yeah, I don't know. They're doing this without Dak Prescott, obviously. CD Lamb. Everybody knew he was going to be a really good receiver. He's really good. He's got 66 catches, 827, 4 receiving touchdowns. He's fast too. I mean, you can reverse it with him. You got Amari Cooper. So I mean, you know, that's a nice duo right there between Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. So you got them. So let's just take a look at it real quick here. Zerline's a good kicker too. So they have, all right. Let's look. I still have DeMarcus Lawrence. He's one of their better defensive guys. Alden Smith, I know who he is. He can blitz. They don't have any really great pass rushers. So Lawrence, you know, he's got 5.5 sacks. Then you got Alden Smith at 5. They can be attacked though. That's the whole thing. And they have got guys that are hurt. Xavier Woods, I know who he is. He's good. Diggs, I've heard of. Trevon Diggs, he's a pretty young player. Could be good. Let's just look really quick here at this schedule, all right? And I'll give you my synopsis, whether or not I think that they can reel off 4 straight wins. All right, so that's what it is. Well, this is do or die for both these teams. They're going to face the Eagles next Sunday, or this Sunday coming up. Yeah, I kind of like the Eagles in that game. I like the way Jalen Hurts plays. If he doesn't leap over, he plays another good game.
I think the Eagles probably have a better roster than the Cowboys too. I like the Eagles to win that game. If the Eagles win that game, then the Cowboys are pretty much done. Well, they're not done. I mean, what would they be? 5-10 Well, it would depend on what Washington does. If Washington wins, then they'd be done. But if Washington loses, but are they still alive? I think they'd actually be eliminated because, like I said, like if they finish tied with Washington, they can't beat them out. They've lost both games to them. So I think they need to win and they need help. They need Carolina to beat Washington. They need help. And then January 3rd, I've talked about it before. The other game that I wanted on the schedule, I talked about how I wanted the Giants to beat the Eagles. They did that. And then January 3rd at home against the Cowboys, which it could come down to. It really is going to depend on what happens with this game against the Eagles, between the Cowboys and the Eagles, what Washington does, obviously, against Carolina, and what the Giants do against Baltimore. All right. I didn't think I was going to break down the division, but I just wanted to. I had the time to do it. So went a little longer than I thought I would with this extra. But thanks to anybody that tunes in. Make sure you tune into more shows. You know, make sure you stream it online when you got time. I mean, it's the holidays and everything. And, you know, don't get too down. I know it's been a really tough year. It's hard year. Just try to keep your head up. And, yeah, I'm going to go see my mom on Friday with her second husband. But I'm only going to be there for an hour. She's going to give me some late birthday stuff. I'll cut some cards and some birthday stuff because my birthday was, you know, a couple weeks ago, two weeks ago tomorrow. But like, and you know, it's Christmas. So I'm going to go there on Friday for a little. I'm going to get them a couple cards and maybe get them something else. I don't know. I have to think about what that is. You know, it's very, very limited what you get, but, I think I should do that. So I will, I just want people to stay positive. Enjoy what we have. Hockey is coming back. Maybe I'll actually talk a little bit about that on the next podcast. All right. That's going to do it. I want to thank anybody that tunes in. Make sure you stream online. Follow me at DFlex2123 on Twitter. That's Twitter. DFlex, DFlex2123 on the Twitter. You want some more information on the blog, and I blog pretty much daily, and I'm starting to incorporate more sports. I might do a Giants one later or tomorrow. www.hittingback21.wordpress.com. So you could go there and you could see what I have to say. I do music as well. I do music. I write poetry. But I'm starting to bring some sports back, and it's a good thing. So there will be some sports columns incorporated. If you're looking for some hockey coverage, you could go to newyorkpuck.com, and you could. I finally put something up there on them finally reaching an agreement for this 56 game blitz that they have coming up. 56 game season starts on January 13th. January 3rd is when training camp starts, and I mean, there's not going to be any preseason. It's a little bit of a thing to talk about, but maybe next time. NBA, you know what I'll do? The NBA starts tomorrow night. Knicks, December 23rd, Wednesday, at the Pacers. I will make my official predictions. So what I'll do is I'll put something up on my blog, on hittingback21.wordpress.com. And I will also do a podcast, and we'll do an NBA thing, and maybe we'll bring in some people and talk. Don't even try to see if Massimo's got time. I'm going to take a listen to her predictions. I pretty much gave you a breakdown of how I think the NBA is going to go last week. You check that out. Check it out. What show was that? I want to give people the outlet to that. So why don't we just do that real quick? And I also want to say condolences to a great pass rusher, Hall of Famer, great player for
the L.A. Rams for the Steelers, where he won a Super Bowl. That was the Packers, actually. Kevin Green. Kevin Green passed away at the age of 58. Kevin Green was phenomenal. And as much as we talk about Lawrence Taylor, we talk about Bruce Smith, we talk about Reggie White, we could even talk about Derek Thomas, God rest his soul. I got to talk about Kevin Green. Kevin Green was tremendous. So I want to just send my condolences to Kevin Green. Kevin Green was great and will certainly be remembered and will be missed, and to his family. Now, in terms of the NBA stuff, that was really more like a wrestling show. That was on December 16th, 2020. It was more about the snowstorm that we had, where we got about 7 inches on this side. On the other side, my mom's side, I got like 10. It was more and more ice here. But I did a lot of wrestling. I do incorporate wrestling. I'll probably do some wrestling on Wednesday night, along with a review of the Knicks. So I'll try to combine both. I think I could do a little wrestling and Knicks. Maybe we'll try to get Justin on, see if he has time. But the NBA preview was in the second part of that show. We also did, on December 19th, I did Knicks. I talked about how impressive the Knicks look, and quickly, and Knox, and how it seems like Tibbs set in roles for guys, and they waived Kid Gilchrist, and I talked the preview of the college football. And now tonight I've done one on the football, on what the football weekend was, and what's coming up with the college football semifinals. And just want to say I'm disappointed for Cincinnati. They went undefeated. I mean, yeah, they did edge Tulsa in a good game. They won by field goal, walk-off fashion, but 27-24. But did they even get accepted to a bowl game? And Army needs to be in a bowl game too. They're 9-2. Put them in a bowl game. I know a lot of teams are pulling out, but if they want to play, let them play. That's what I would say. But this was fun to do. It was fun to talk a lot of football here, exclusively here at the Hard Hits Network. Give me a follow at Hard Hits Network as well. But really follow me at Deflex21. That's my real account. That's where I'm pretty much there a lot. I mean, I will put this on my Facebook page, maybe link it up on the Twitter account, maybe do a write-up on it on headingback21.wordpress.com. It was fun to do. And Hard, if you want to go to blogtalkradio.com/hardhits21, and you could check out any of the shows, any of the podcasts that we do. So appreciate it. It's time to say adios amigos and das vidanya. So couple of songs, and there's one from Bob Dylan, and I'll see you guys later. Good night.
Just a little shanty by the railroad track. Freight train whistle taught me how to cry. Humming of the drivers and the lullaby. I got freight train blues. Oh Lordy, mama, I got 'em in the bottom of my rambling shoes. And when the whistle blows, I got to go. Baby, don't you know it looks like I'm never gonna lose the freight train blues. My daddy was a farmer and my mama, yeah, she was the only daughter of the engineer. My sweetheart loved the brakeman and it ain't no joke. Seemed the way she keeps a good man broke. I got the freight train blues. Oh, Lord, mama, got him in the bottom of my rambling shoes. Oh, man, but don't you know, well, it looks like I'm never gonna lose the freight train blues. Well,
thing that makes me laugh again is a southbound whistle on the southbound train. Every place I want to go, I never can go, because you know I got three train blues.